Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we talk FA Cup football, sports awards, Newark cycling. We look back at last weekend and forward to the one coming up. And we have a rant about BMX. Yep, I'm Mick Bradley. He should be the father of the bride, but the father of the bride is missing. If anybody sees an ex-sports editor of the Newark Advertiser wandering around Newark looking lost, point him towards Barnby Road Academy, please. He should be here. He's not, so I'm just going to get on with it, with the local headlines. Becky Gallop has once again starred by winning the silver medal at the Notts AAA 5K County Championships at Newstead Abbey last Friday. Newark Striders father and daughter team of Peter and Holly Davis also completed in that Newstead Abbey event, and that was Holly's first outing since becoming a mother, so well done, Holly. And still with Striders, Dave Dews travelled to the East Coast to complete in the Grimsby 10K. Louise Orgill finished a magnificent second in the latest leg of the British Open Water Swimming Championships at a very windy Coniston Water in the Lake District. And Regis Sugden is back in the ring on the 23rd of September, the Battle of Britain event in Sheffield, when he takes on Jordan Barton.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And at 4 minutes past seven, my co-presenter's deemed to arrive.
Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Smith.
I'm sorry, I've just finished Butty Mush.
It must be Yorkshire.
No, it's not. It's Newark. Radio Newark. I was doing it for the listeners.
Right.
Both of them will appreciate that.
Good. Well, this one didn't understand it. And finally, the last word on the local sport. And if anybody listened a couple of weeks ago, when Beth Hendley and Stacey Atkins came in and told us about what wasn't a very good night, a very good day for them at the Ironman, when it went wrong for both of them, and Stacey sat in the studio and says, I am doing it again. She is doing it again. She's signed up for next year's Bolton Ironman. True as a word, she's signed up, she's there, and she's doing it again. So, well done, Stacey. Absolutely fantastic. Go for it. If you don't succeed at first, have another go.
Have I missed much?
Well, and that's good night from us. And next up, you've disappointed our special guest tonight because he thought he was going to be the co-host. He still can be the co-host because he's much better than you'll do. Our special guest tonight, he was in for the complete hour talking on many, many subjects he wants to talk about and quite a few that he doesn't. Matt Snee from Active for Today. Matt, good evening.
Good evening, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good, are you?
Yeah, very good.
Good, thank
you.
We've got an awful lot to talk about, so I've sort of rejigged it. So, because you're going to be that many things coming up for you, and that many subjects I want to talk about with you, intermixed with our regular thing. So, let's start straight away. And I know it's only the beginning of August, but I would suggest you've probably already got your sports awards head on.
Yeah, so it is the beginning of August, but it soon flies around, and with the changing weather, the nights get a little bit shorter, unfortunately, and it's starting to come towards the time of sports awards. So the annual sports awards, they do run. They are scheduled in for the week of beginning the 4th of December.
But they will run!
There is a lot of work that goes in before that. So we're currently looking over last year's nominations, any feedback that we got from last year, and starting to programme a full week of the sports awards. So it's going to be good fun. There's been some fantastic achievements already that I know about in both Newark and also across the district as well. So it's going to be taking some serious looking at some of these nominations this year. Hopefully we get as many as last year. Last year we got a record number of nominations, so hopefully we can continue that trend and do the same again this year. So we're just working on finalising the nomination form, where that's going to be, how it's going to be advertised.
Obviously. Have you tweaked it? Now, I've got to ask you, because I had a grumble last time, because one or two grumbled at me that they thought it was too technical.
Yeah.
Your people assured me it wasn't. I had a go at it and got completely flummoxed. So I got somebody else to do it.
The idea, actually, it's not just almost from a user's point of view as well. Obviously, when it comes to presenting these to a panel and the panel voting on the awards, it's really important that the panel gets as much information as possible, but it's also as efficient as possible as well. So what we are looking at doing this year is having some kind of stricter word counts on the nominations. So you get to... get to put down the top five achievements for that person that you want or team that you are nominating. They are going to be quite simple and they're going to be kind of a sentence long. And then the back end of the form, when it comes to your reasons for nominating them, then you can get the description and the more subjective things that can go in there. But the most important thing is we can have space for those achievements. So again, it's a process. We're not at the days of the Newark and Sherwood District Council Sports Development Team where we had many officers and everything like that. You know, it's 2017. We've gone through quite a few austerity measures since then. What we're trying to do is still make sure that we run the awards, but run them as best as we can with the resources that we've got. You know, a fantastic partnership that we've got with yourselves here at Radio Newark. It's really important that we can make the most of these awards. There's still some fantastic people doing some fantastic work. Okay, there might not be an all singing, all dancing presentation, but actually we get to go out and deliver these into the clubs, into
that
the training
environment. That was good because you do all the hard work and Tony and I got all the glory.
Exactly. it's a case of scheduling it round. Prime example would be last year, the one was at Southwell. We did the ladies hockey and when we did it at the rugby club on their training night. I mean, how good was that?
Yes, you're talking about the Helen Ellison Road Show, aren't you?
Yes, I am. She only has to remember the trophies though this year.
Yes.
Because of her different type of workload this year. It's going to be passed down to me.
If I'd have said that, Mrs. Ellison, you'd have had a go at me. Remember who said that? It wasn't me.
And also, I kind of shirked some of the presentations last year because I was in India watching
you
the cricket.
Did.
So
you did.
I can't get away with it this year. I tried to go to watch the Ashes, but my bank balance didn't quite agree with me on that one. So I'm back in Newark and Sherwood delivering the sports awards in December.
If it is any consolation to you, we absolutely crucified you for going away on this show. Don't worry about it. We crucified you.
That's fine. I was like to say, I couldn't listen though because of the time difference. That was the only reason why I couldn't listen when I was out there.
Helen crucified you. Same awards, or have you done anything with the sort of nomination?
So last year we had the 12 categories. We're trying to keep these as rigid as possible. The only one that we've kind of engulfed is the school sports team is now going to be twinned with the junior sports team. So it's just going to be a junior sports team award.
Which is pretty much the same.
Yeah, the reason why we've done it as well, anybody that works in schools obviously having a well-deserved holiday now. Appreciate stuff like getting nominations from teachers, from schools, from PE departments are very difficult. Some of these PE departments are going down to core staff. You know, they're having to teach the young people in the schools. They don't want to be spending their time having to nominate as well, along top of their normal workload that they're doing. So the nomination, they can still get nominated, just in a different category. And we encourage nominations for more walks of life anyway, whether it be sport, whether it be the school sport, or whether it be out in the community.
So when do the nomination, when are they going out?
So
when are we going to start bombarding people?
The nominations are open for the full month of October. So it worked really well last year. So from the 1st to the 31st October, the nominations will be open. So there'll be opportunity to access that via the Radio Newark website, via the Newark and Sherwood District website, Active for Today website, all of the usual media channels, so through the advertiser, and we'll really push it out there and give people the best possible chance. I'll be going around speaking to sports clubs, getting them involved, and getting the nominations out there. As much as it is a bit of a sifting process, I'd much prefer to have more nominations than if we're having to try and fetch them. It's almost more difficult. I do love it when we receive lots of nominations. I'd rather have a panel that lasts 6 hours, okay, than chasing people.
And especially as you can't escape to India this time.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
So Matt will be coming back in September when we really do get into sports award mode and start pushing it, because to win that accolade is fantastic. To be involved in it, Tony and I had great fun, didn't we, last year out on the road. It was a fantastic fun. Then they all come in here and talk, and anyway, that was absolutely brilliant. So that's sports awards, lots more to talk about. We're going to skip on now to everybody's favorite cup competition, which is the FA Cup. But before we do that, a bit of jock sport. Celtic won in Europe and didn't concede a goal. How bad are Rosenborg?
I thought that was a misprint. Did that really happen?
Yes.
Good Lord.
You wasn't dreaming. Aberdeen are losing in Limassol, of course, and they look like they're going out of the Europa League to a team of sort of part-timers that play on a beach. But
that, that's mighty.
Which is pretty.
That's mighty Limassol to you.
Which is pretty much more than where we are. But this Saturday, apart from in the EFL starting, the FA Cup starts. It's the first Premier League round, and 370 of the 737 teams that's entered the competition start this weekend. And Tony and I, having made a complete mess of it last year, are going to try again to pick a team at the beginning and follow it through, whoever beats them, beats them, beats them, and see where we end up and who we end up with. It will only come to an end if I get Derby, and I refuse point blank to support Derby. So anywhere else I can put up with, but if it's Derby, we'll drop the thing completely.
What if you get Leeds?
No, I'll live with it, because I'll only get, they won't be in it long. we're going to do the Scottish one for 1 week as well, when Berwick play their one game in the Scottish Cup. We'll get beaten in the first round, won't we?
We'll
do that for you.
Have we got a bye? We've got a game?
We'll do that for you. So, quickly, Matt, your FA Cup, is it special?
Oh, is it? It is. I was quite fortunate growing up. My father was a semi-professional footballer, so I've kind of seen and been involved with non-league football, and that's where it is the most special. I've seen supported teams that he's been involved with, so Gainsborough Trinity, Brigg Town, you know, get to the first round. I've seen some shocking scorelines in the first round. You know, we've been thrashed a couple of times, but I think my abiding memory is something I used to play for Brigg, and we went to watch them against Tranmere back in 2002, 2003. I think they lost 4-1 at Tranmere overs, and we sat in the shed end, felt like proper fans. And we also, what the trivia, the piece of that is the BBC Match of the Day at the time that did the FA Cup, they actually missed the Briggs goal. The cameraman lost the film, and it's available on YouTube. So there's a video with Mark Lawrenson presenting it like the week after. So he presented it on the Premier League show the week after, because I found the footage eventually. But yeah, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, there's not only is it this special side of it. Nowadays with football, a lot of talk about finances. That cup one actually paid for the renovation of their ground. It paid for two full stands, and it also paid for some telephone masts as well, so it can actually sell off the telephone masts to radio companies. Now that club was then set up for 15 years. So 15 years that's like set up for.
It's brilliant.
You know, it's absolutely fantastic competition.
And that's what it does for the little clubs, isn't it? One little club. Because I'm also going to do, and Tony hasn't been told this bit yet, we're going to do a bit of a test Tony, and we're going to have a sort of a musical question on every sort of round that we do. So tonight, Tony Smith,
can't beat preparation, can you?
You can't. I've prepped it. I just forgot to tell you.
Yeah. Mysteria, anyway.
Well, it can't be a test, can it? Right, Framlingham is a little village
Who?
In Suffolk. Framlingham.
Framlingham.
You're right. That's a little village in Suffolk. Mm. And they play in the FA Cup for the first time ever in their 130-year history. Framlingham Village has one other claim to fame. Okay? And I want to know from you what the claim to fame is. Now, it is easy.
If you've got the answer in front of you, it's easy for you.
All you've got to do is listen to the music, and then you'll tell me who sings it and who and what the claim to fame is.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance. I met her on Grafton Street, right outside of the bar. She shared a cigarette with me while her brother played the guitar. She asked me, what does it mean? The Gaelic ink on your arm. Said it was one of my friend's songs. Do you wanna drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding a shotgun. Chatted some more, one more drink at the bar. Then put Van on the jukebox, got up to dance. You know she played her band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance with my pretty little Galway girl. You're my pretty little Galway girl.
So what is Framlingham's other claim to fame?
Well, I'm a bit of a music expert as well. Is it where Robbie Williams comes from? Is it where Ed Sheeran comes from?
And I think Ed Sheeran is absolutely brilliant. To be born with the affliction that Ed Sheeran has been born with and to do what he does now, I think it's fantastic. Whereas most people would stay in the house.
What, being ginger?
Yes!
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that. So you see, that's your Tony's teaser for the first preliminary round of the FA Cup. It could have been worse, Matt. You could have had one.
I was about to say, yeah.
We both picked a team, as we said, to start with. Now, Tony has gone with Renneth Miners Welfare because he's got great memories of Renneth, and we couldn't work out if it was the closest to Newark. It was either Renneth, Clipston or Harrowby, and we haven't yet worked out which one is the closest, but they're all fairly close.
Yeah.
So you've gone with Renneth, and what's your Renneth memory?
My Renneth memory is the first time I ever moved to Nottinghamshire. I was working for BBC Radio Nottingham, and they asked me to go to the final at Wembley between Renneth Miners Welfare and Forest Green Rovers. I think it was about 1982, around about that time. And so I spent a week in the village of Renneth.
A week?
Yeah, yeah. obviously in a stab vest. And it was lovely to get to know the people and to sort of have a few pints at the Miners' Welfare and take a little what's called a ewer round with me, which is a recording, onto tape. And I then went down with the Renneth team to Wembley itself, and it was just a fantastic memory. And the greatest memory of all was all the shops in Renneth. They all had Renneth scarves in the window, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
You're telling me Renneth shops had windows? There's a first!
But
Renneth Miners Welfare, of course, started off as Rufford Colliery FC. And they was Nottinghamshire's premier amateur club for a number of years. Many people say that they was actually held back when they had the chance to go up forward. I mean, you've said that they was with Forest Green or now in the league. Alan Green was chairman of Renneth and is also chairman of the Notts Alliance. So, you know, two hats on here. What do you do? They won the Notts Senior Cup six times. FA Vars runners-up. Record attendance, 5,071 in the FA Vars final second leg against Barton Rovers. Now they're in the Northern Counties East, and they play at home on Saturday to Shepshed Dynamo. And, of course, Shepshed Dynamo, Leicestershire, I think?
Loughborough.
Yeah, Loughborough. They've got a history. I mean, they've got a good history, haven't they?
They've got a good pedigree,
a lot of people know them. So that's going to be tough. I think that's going to be tough for Renneth. But Tony started with Renneth, and whoever wins that one is where Tony goes next.
The bad news is, because of our cricket commitments, we've had to put on hold our book first round to the final.
That's arguably bad news.
but the first three chapters have been written, and if we're involved at any stage of the first extra qualifying round of the FA Cup with our cricket teams in mid-table and not likely to win anything, then the book will be written.
Only my co-presenter could write a book about starting in the FA Cup football, which he knows very well starts at the beginning of August and can't do it because of cricket.
Yes, but at the time when we weren't to know that Newark R&M, what time is it, mate? 21 minutes. Right. We weren't to know that Newark R&M, first team that I'm involved with as umpire, and second 11 that Bully, my co-author, is involved with at second 11 level as captain, would be so successful this summer.
Right, my team, because we're moving time on here, my team, just to take it away from the area, I'm going up to where the grandchildren live, and I'm going to start with Whitley Bay. And Whitley Bay play away at Seaham Red Star, which is a bit of a local derby, because Seaham's just down the coast
I've
there.
I've seen them play.
You see, you've been everywhere this
strong,
year.
Very strong leagues.
The Northern League, isn't it?
Yeah, very
well,
strong.
Whitley Bay have actually won the Vars. Four right. times. Yeah. So we're going where I'm supporting the Seahorses. You're going down Pit Yolf, and I'm supporting the Sea Houses. So we'll see where we get. Whitley Bay's best ever FA Cup runners in 1989-90 when they got to the third round, only to lose to Rochdale after beating Scarborough and Preston North End. So look out for Renneth, look out for Whitley Bay, and we'll see where we end up.
What's Renneth's nickname?
I just... must be the Pitman, I suppose. Pit Yolf. Matt's got another FA Cup story, which I quite enjoyed, because it... and this, I think, is taking something away from the FA Cup. That I can understand why they've done it, but I went to watch Forest and QPR play about four times, but this is even better, Matt.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Gainsborough myself, and my dad used to play for...
Do you tell people that?
Well, I try and avoid it. I try and avoid it. My dad used to play for Appleby Frodingham, which is the Scunthorpe Steelworks team. And one year, I'm presuming we're talking about probably 1979, 1980, they were in the FA Cup. And for the life of me, I can't remember what team it was, but they had, at the time, if you drew, you played a replay, and if you drew the replay, you played again. And they played about seven or eight fixtures. I can't remember the exact facts, about seven or eight fixtures against the exact team. And in the end, they lost. So not only did that, was that rather infuriating, and it made a few headlines in national papers, but it also meant that they had a terrific fixture backlog. Well, at that time, the lads were getting probably paid expenses, weren't getting paid to play sort of thing, and most of them worked shifts. So when it came to kind of back end of February, March and April, when they were playing four, five, six games a week, it caused all sorts of problems and ended up finishing near the bottom of the league because nobody was playing for them because everyone had to work. But yeah, it was the magic of the cup. That's probably a different way of looking at it.
It probably is. It probably is. Just sort of very quickly, I'm not going to do a transfer window tonight. I'm going to do something else. But this Neymar thing, Matt, you're in grassroots sport. You spend all your life trying to find money to get sports teams on the go, and I know what Tony thinks, sports teams on the go, and you know, even make it work, and then you look at 190 whatever it is, maybe very good, but he ain't worth that. They still only pay lip service to what you do, don't they?
Yeah, I think realistically we all understand that, you know, for instance, this Neymar malarkey, that the chap's not just a footballer, he's an asset, he's a model, it's all the things that come with it. And realistically, there is an associated value with everything. So they've looked at the numbers and they thought, you know, we can justify paying this. That's absolutely fine. But when you're working with, you know, grassroots football clubs, you know, £100 will buy them 10 new footballs for the season. You know, that's where the money could drip down. And we could see that. I don't get how someone can't see that. We talked off air about another instance where that British on Boulogne are going to Middlesbrough for 15 million. If you look at the cost of building it, let's say buy the land, building an AstroTurf pitch, getting the floodlights, getting a 20-year maintenance schedule, let's call it £1 million. That's been really pessimistic with what they could do with the costing. That's 15 you could have across Nottinghamshire. How much better would football be in Nottinghamshire if you had 15 artificial pitches scattered around the county that people could use and book, and not kids training in sports halls and school classrooms and all that, because they've got no availability? Like I said, back to what I was saying, I understand where the money comes from and where it goes, but surely how can a bit not come out of that to go into grassroots sport to help inspire these young people? Because the kids nowadays, they want to see what Neymar's doing on his Instagram page, not what he's doing on the pitch. They want to see what trainers he's wearing or what wash bag he's got. Well, what's the point in that? We play sport to, you know, to compete, but also to have a healthy life and to, you know, to have fun. That's what we're doing it for, not to pick the nice wash bag. I just don't. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's absolutely...
We both agree with you, and Tony has been... We've been doing the football transfer thing for a couple of weeks now, and he is super critical of the whole fiasco, quite frankly. Quick look back at last weekend, because it has quieted down a lot, school holidays and everything, but the star really of last weekend was, of course, Amelia Crispin, who cycled away with the York Junior Triathlon, which means she's won the Yorkshire Regional Triathlon Series, and I think there's still three runs to go And she's also won the East Midlands Regional Triathlon Series. So there's Amelia, Yorkshire champion, East Midlands champion, and Matt's busy writing down her name because, you know, she's only 12, but come on, what a star! What an absolute superstar. The other big story, of course, last week was football. What is going off at Newark Town? Are Newark Town going to recover? Are they going to have a football team? Who knows? What's happening at Flowsave? Completely the opposite. And on Monday night, Craig Roach is coming into the studio. So lots of questions for Craig, and I'm sure Craig's going to have the answers. 5 weeks of the cricket season to go. It's getting to that time when they say the fat umpire sings. It's getting to that time. This weekend, the highlights. Collingham in Division A. Collingham are playing Ellerslie. Collingham are fourth. Ellerslie a second, and there's 10 points between them. Remember, there's 20 points on offer in a match. It's there. Woollerton's ran away with it. They've won it. But second place is up for grabs. Bolton go to Carrington. One of the joyous trips of a cricket season. I'm sure they'll enjoy it. Farndon are at Radcliffe. Farndon in the bottom two of Division C, D, D. They need a victory. Bad weekend for them last season. Put them right back. Radcliffe's mid-table, going nowhere. Who knows? The interesting one. Beaver in fourth place in Division E. Take on the runaway leaders, Newark R&M. If Newark R&M come back from the Vale with 20 points, it's not mathematically, but it's as near as damn it in the bag. And after 3 years of going down, 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 the Town Cricket Club is going back up, and that's what it's got to do. It carries the town name. We've got Newark Town struggling with football. We cannot have the Newark Town Cricket Club struggling as well. It's got to come back. So despite the handicap they've got, they're on a roll. They're coming back. So that's this weekend's Newark sport. And, of course, our athletes are in Wakefield, Newark Athletic Club. They're up in Wakefield for the last summer meeting of the year. It's moving on, Matt. You're getting busy. It's moving.
I need to book a cricket trip, don't I, and get out of the way.
You do. It's moving on. So what we're going to do, instead of talk about the transfer window, I found three sports stories that these two can make a comment about.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Former heavyweight world champion Vladimir Klitschko has retired from boxing, ruling out a rematch with Britain's Anthony Joshua.
Don't call him that. You call him Anthea. Good luck with that, kid.
My name's Matt Colborne and this is The Breakfast Show. The Ukrainian, 41, was knocked out in the 11th round by the current champion, Joshua, at Wembley Stadium. Boxing, Matt, is that your sport?
How can you tell? It suits my physique, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You won't see me in one of them rings.
It is yours.
Me.
Yes.
Is that the end of an era then, or...?
Yeah, he's the second longest reigning heavyweight champion in history. Unfortunately, the guy on the radio didn't say who the first was. But he made 23 successful defences of his title before he met Anthony Joshua. But at the age of 41, it's time to go in boxing.
What an ambassador for the sport, though.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his brother.
England's Lionesses have captured the attention of the nation after reaching the European Championship semi-finals, and they're facing Holland in a very few minutes' time. Women's sport, Matt. This is a bit more, you know...
Oh, fantastic. I think it's the investment that's been made over the last, you know, 15 or so years, just to put a number out there, it's starting to show now, isn't it? You know, the age-old argument about pay and stuff like that will always go on and go on and go on. But I think the investment that we have made at a grassroots level into ladies and women's sport is just starting to show now. It's
absolutely fantastic. And of course, the flagship of all this is the Newark Rugby Girls. The national champions that was. And finally, my third story is Paula Maguire. That's got them both looking. She was once too afraid to walk down to the shower end of the swimming pool. She is now, this is a 36-year-old East End girl from Glasgow. She's now going to swim around the UK or Britain. It's going to take her a long time to do it. She's going to do it.
When's she doing it?
It's all in here somewhere. I'll be here all night reading this. But she admits the latest one to swim from Land's End to John O'Groats and back may seem a bit ridiculous since I've only just learned how to swim. Tony, are all Scots mad?
You have to be.
You really do. I mean, this one's in absolutely intrigued, Matt. There you are, Matt. You can read about Paul the Maguire. I'm sure my lifeboat friends will meet up with her very, very soon.
Well, I've got full credit to her.
Oh, absolute full credit. Mad, but full credit.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It would make a good film.
Well, as soon as she gets past the first day, yes.
But you know, like, sort of, I've always said, and I say to so many people, the Megan Williams story would be a fantastic film.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Girl who got bullied at school, Matt, and she fights for the European kickboxing title. Those two idiots are ringside. And I said, live on our outside broadcast, if she wins, I'm going to cry on air. Unfortunately, she didn't, but...
What a story.
Mind you, he can't even get here for 7 o'clock, so you don't... Look. Right, the main reason for Matt coming in here tonight, apart from to join in and have a bit of fun and everything else, is that the first week of September is going to be... Well, I keep saying the half marathon is going to be the busiest. I'm beginning to wonder now, because what I'm reading about this first week in September, this is going to be fantastic for Newark and for Newark Sport. And I'm going to shut up now and leave it to Matt.
Fantastic. So, yeah, so many of you might have seen or heard or seen some maybe road signs that start to go out. The Tour of Britain cycling event is coming to the Nottinghamshire on Wednesday the 6th of September. So the stage runs from Mansfield to Newark, but it kind of goes a long way around. It does a total of 175 kilometres. So it passes through many of our villages within our district, up and down. So you're talking Blidworth, or Blidworth, where you're from.
you wouldn't be corrected.
Hayland, Southwell, Kirklington, Billsthorpe, Edwinstowe, North and South Clifton, Girton, Bestfort, Collingham, Coddington, then it finishes in Scotland and Devon Park in Newark. So it's a fantastic event, and we are very fortunate in this county actually to host the stage itself, the whole stage, and also we are very fortunate in this district because we've got a large chunk of it. So 16 teams, riders from 17 or 18 different countries. It's the largest free to attend sporting event in the world. Mainly, I don't know if it's fact, I have to check my facts there, but I think it's the largest free to attend sporting event in the world. It's broadcast live on terrestrial television as well, so the whole event, so the race itself is about 3.5-4 hours. The first hour of the programme is a bit of a catch-up of the start, and then it should come in live around about in Southwell, so you should see it live on IT4 going through Southwell, up and down the district, going around everywhere. So it should be an unbelievable event. So what I will say now, before I get to the negatives, or I'm dealing with the positives.
There are no negatives.
All of the logistics and the bin collections and the road closures, it's a day. It's a day. We've got to remember, you know, this is an absolutely fantastic event. Cycling in this country has gone from strength to strength since the 1996 Olympics, where I read somewhere today that on one of the prelim events, they had to travel on their own, no support cars, nothing, no support staff. They had to go to the event themselves, sort out their own bike, sort out their own, wash their own clothes, do all of these things. And now, you know, it's one of the most funded sports that we've got. We've got Cavendish, you know, the Tour de France, we've had Bradley Wiggins win it. You know, we've got all of these fantastic, fantastic athletes competing.
If it goes from Coddington and finishes at Scones, does it actually go down Beacon Hill?
Yeah.
That'd be some spectacle, wouldn't it?
Oh, there's some of the... there's a couple of things. They pick out the route deliberately. But, yeah, they'll be flying down there.
Gonna say.
So the average...
I hope the lights aren't on red.
Yeah. You're talking...
Damn it!
You're talking, you know, 175 kilometres, and average. The average about anywhere between 38 and 42 kilometres an hour, depending on the wind direction, the wind strength of the on the day. So the actual tour event itself will be an unbelievable spectacle. There'll be you won't believe how fast they go and for how long they do that for. It's an unbelievable sight.
I understand that if Cavendish's shoulder is ready, mm-hmm. he will be racing, and Geraint Thomas should be racing. Yeah. So you've got the biggest of the
stars.
Big names.
Yeah, you've got stars. I think Bradley Wiggins has been confirmed as well.
So, you know, you have got stars. What's active for today
so,
doing? Because this is, you've been given a golden pot here.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's a big one. When these sporting events come and we all talk about, we harp on about what it's going to do, how it's going to benefit. You know, the big word that's bantered around is legacy. So everybody talks about what legacy, what are you getting from it? So I spoke to my kind of colleagues at the council and we thought, well, what could we do? I spoke to people at Active for today. You know, how can we embrace this legacy? So we've decided we're going to run a Newark and Sherwood Festival of Cycling. So it's going to be a series of events. So starting kind of on the 20th, late August, all the way through to a couple of days after the event itself in sort of mid-September, we're encompassing all the cycling events that's happening across the district in that time. So there's going to be things happening. So mountain biking at Sherwood Pines. We're going to have some road racing for the Velo Club Flintham and the Collingham Velo Club as well. Newark Castle Cycling Club, I'll come on to them in a second about what they're doing. The idea is we're trying to embrace everything that's positive about cycling. So whether that is jumping on a bike for recreation around the park, whether that's going out and joining a bit of a peloton, or whether it is cycling to work, it doesn't matter. Okay, it's the positive aspects of it. You know, the social side of things, the psychological the benefits and mental health, and also the exercise is really good for you to get out there. Okay, and the sort of flagship event that's going to be happening for the Festival of Cycling is on the actual Tuesday night beforehand. So Newark Castle Cycling Club are running a junior go-ride event in the town square itself. So that's going to be an absolute fantastic spectacle.
And we're there!
And
Radio
we're all
Newark
there.
Are
we're
there!
We're all going to be there. You know, a lot of work is going to go into it, but it's going to be absolutely fantastic to see. So you've got under-8s race, under-10s race, under-12s race. There's then an under-16 race as well. They're going to be flying around the market square on the cobbles, you know, pretending that they're on the Tour de France. What a fantastic opportunity for local riders and riders from around the district and around the county to come and join in and sort of get involved in the tour. And then the next day, the tour's here itself. So I simply can't wait.
This Tuesday night event, I mean, I was talking to Newark Castle Cycling last night and we were saying the amount of youngsters that they've lost because they've had to go out of town because there's no facilities, and that's another story on another day. But they're going to be back. Finlay and Leo Bass are hopefully going to be here. Judy Tots all going to be here. All these youngsters that we mention week in, week out are going to be back in Newark. And you're too young. You're not. When they had the cycle round the town races in the 70s,
there
was hundreds, if not thousands, watching it because they raced on cobbles. And you don't race on cobbles very often, do you? No. It was different. And it makes it hard. And it was a spectacle. And if you can reproduce that, it's going to be a cracking night.
Yeah, so the idea is there is in this week, it was meant to be a week, and I originally planned it about 2 months ago. It was, we'll do a week, yeah, that sounds, we'll have to fill some time and whatever. Now it's like, it's basically a fortnight's worth of cycling activity. There's that many people that want to get involved. You know, there's like the Breeze Network, which is a ladies' recreation network that just go out and cycle as a group. They're getting involved. So there's a huge programme of what we're doing, and that's available online. So if you go on the Newark and Sherwood District Council website, there's a full sort of page dedicated to the cycling, the tour, the logistics of it, the road closures, all that sort of thing. And there's an aspect there of our Festival of Cycling. So, and it's not just sport as well, as the art side of things. So they can opportunity to do some flags, some land art, getting the yellow bikes painted and getting them on and kind of on stakes and everywhere. So I'm so positive about it. I'm not a huge fan of cycling, but
you will be
this is making me a huge fan of cycling. Just the amount of people that are involved with it, it's unbelievable.
On the Wednesday, you're turning Sconce into a sports village with all little shops and tents and everything, and it finishes somewhere near Springhouse, doesn't it? I think
yes.
It finishes somewhere near Springhouse. I mean, by the very nature of watching a cycle, I'm gone. But if you can get somewhere near Spring House or on the Sconce or on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, so on the Wednesday itself, what tends to happen with these events, because it's kind of a global event, they've got all the sponsors, the actual village itself is, you know, the sponsors village, so you'll have all the Skoda things, you have all the, that's kind of quite an enclosed, you know, but it's a perfect opportunity for local traders, local businesses, you know, like yourself, to get in there and make the most of this. And if you can get a good spot to watch the race finish, I mean, come on, I mean, it's your own town, get to see a national event coming through. It's a unique opportunity.
I think Tony thinks Sleaford Road Bridge might be the best.
I certainly would like to be at the bottom of Beacon Hill area. That would be fantastic, because
yeah, you're to hear them.
If there was a crash at any stage of Beacon Hill, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Great. I take it we've convinced Seven and Trent not to dig any more holes in Sleaford Road.
I said, logistics side of things are kind of out of my jurisdiction. Thankfully, at this current moment,
I'm just thinking about my job as a delivery driver as well. That's kind of a tricky day.
I would forget it.
It's going to be a busy day, but you know, there is that bigger picture, and if you can inspire the cyclists of the future, you know, if the next Chris Hoy, you know.
I know
it comes from watching that event. Surely that is more worthwhile.
I know from Radio Newark's point of view, we are live all day with traffic reports. We've got someone at NSDC dedicated to telling us every 5 minutes what's closed, what's open, where the traffic jams are. Yeah. So this is going to be your station on the day for the traffic and travel, because that's going to be paramount, obviously, on the day. We're going to be there on Wednesday afternoon. We're there on Tuesday night, embracing everything that Tuesday night. And there's a corporate race, isn't there, as well? Yeah. You didn't mention the corporate race.
Yeah, well, it's
the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
Are you racing?
I'm definitely not now.
Oh, come on.
I'm sort of involved with logistics.
That's a get out.
I am getting out of this one, yeah. I'll more than likely, to be honest with you, I'll probably have a high vis on and be marshalling and volunteering on the night.
Well, now,
the event itself, and also for the Wednesday as well, you know, the more volunteers we have, the better. Yeah, even if you are going to be going with your family, anything like that, if you can put your name forward and be trained as a volunteer, you get yourself your t-shirt on, your high-vis on, and you can stand there. You still want to stand there and watch the race. Actually,
you get a better view.
You get a better view. You'll be able to push people out of the way.
Because on the corporate event, I can now officially announce that Breakfast Show's very own Matt and Vicky are going to be involved in it.
Are they?
Yes, they don't know it yet, but they are going to be involved in it.
The entry fee is £4 per rider, and on this poster it says, please bring, bike.
Newark Castle Cycling Club are supplying those two with a tandem, so Matt can cycle and Vicky can commentate.
Actually, Newark Castle Cycling Club have got some, got a couple of spare ones kicking about, because I help fund them. So
they've only got one now. But, I mean, it's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be hard work for you. But it's going to be fun. But isn't that what Active for Today are all about?
I'm a sports development officer. So Active for Today are a not-for-profit organisation. So aside with the day-to-day run-of-the-mill, running the leisure and sport facilities in the town, my job is to ensure that sports clubs run, make sure we have volunteers, basically make sure that people get as much out of sport as I have. Especially when I was growing up. So. For me, a couple of late nights in September, making sure that everything is right for this, is great. You know, I work quite hard to get to this job. I want to work even harder now to inspire, say, these next generation of athletes and people to get involved. Because as much as you want to inspire the next generation of athletes, you've got to get the parents on board as well, because they're going to be the ones ferrying them about. If they're doing cycling events, they're going to be ferrying about up to Newcastle, down to Southampton, to compete, to get that experience, to become better and better. So it's all about, you know, instilling this sport for life sort of atmosphere and attitude, which is, again, why we do it.
Fortunately, in this country still, and this country has come on massively in the last 20 years, you can only be as good a young sports person as your parents have got the time, the finance and the effort to let you be. Because if Amelia's father didn't ferry her from top side of Yorkshire to the bottom side of the East Midlands every single Saturday, she would not be winning trophies like
No, when it's exposure.
She's winning. And that's the next thing we've got to try and change.
Yeah, and it's all about the reason why all these, we use football example, have the academies, the excuse, exposure to, you know, high-end sports. So this is what it's, you know, a race in your own town under the pressures of doing that. Even at that level, it's starting to instill those...
Got to be good, hasn't it?
Yeah, instill those attitudes and behaviours that make you the best athlete and make some... We're going to be proud of someone from Newark winning it, hopefully.
And on the back of a fantastic piece of good news, I now have to move on to a piece of not so good news, and I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. Okay, and straight to the telephone lines when we're joined by Jason Cranage. You have heard of me talking about Finlay Cranage on numerous occasions, BMXing, and let's start with Finlay. Jason, good evening. Welcome to Radio Newark, by the way.
Jason, Mick.
How is Finlay doing? We're having a decent season.
Yeah, his season's finished now at the regionals. He got a third in the last one at Nottingham. So he's having a break now till racing till October when the winter series starts again.
And he's going to be that one year older and he's stepping up a league.
He is, yeah, being eighth and under experts from October.
Big jump, is that?
It's a lot more riders. He'd probably be going from 5 or 6 races now and probably up to probably 20, so we'll be having the finals and semi-finals.
What, the thing is though, Jason, Finlay has to go away from Newark every time he wants to do it, and we're just talking about parental support, and he's never more than needed with your son. We hoped there was going to see a BMX track on the Newark Sports. There is a BMX track there that's underneath 6 foot of weeds. But was hoping, and it was in the plans to see a BMX track, but I understand this weekend brought some bad news.
We set a group up with me and a lad called Ez Chapman, who races as well. We had a meeting with YMCA, and they seemed quite interested in it, just what sort of standard they were going to get for the finance. But then we got an email at the weekend saying the council wanted to keep a green area of land on the sports, so they want room for the BMX track. And that was it.
And that was sort of chapter closed, end of?
Well, they did say they would look for alternative areas, but there's one over the fence, but that's not happening, is it?
It's not. I mean, BMX was ruled supreme a few years ago, then it had seen a dip, then the Olympics put it back on everybody's radar again. And as I look around, there's BMX tracks in most towns and quite a few villages, and once again, Newark is there with absolutely nothing. It's not good enough, Jason, is it?
It's not, no. Not when they had the World Championship in California and there was 4,000 riders there.
You know, and not every child wants to play football or rugby or hockey. You know, and this is what we talk about on this show, and I'm on the back of the tennis club having some bad news. They don't know how long they can exist because they haven't got any tenure on where they are. So they are worried, and I'm certainly going to take it up on your behalf and the tennis club's behalf with the council and just see, you know, what we can do. The BMX track that is there, Jason, is it beyond all the economic repair?
No, definitely not. It's a flat space. All you need is soil, stone. I mean, it depends how much you want to spend on it, but the start hill's there, that can be repaired. But it's just a case of, is it part of the cemetery plan in the future?
Who knows? I'm going to try and have a word with the council so we can get some sort of statement off them. It's only fair that they put their point of view over, and I'd like to...
I emailed them Monday, somebody I've spoke to before. I'm still waiting to get back to me.
Send me a copy of the email.
Pardon?
Send me a copy of the email.
Right, okay.
And we'll have a go. And I'll keep everybody informed on this radio station because BMX, tennis, and all sports like that are so, so important to us. Jason, thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling us that because, you know, we've done all the good aspects, but, you know, this is a bad bit about two wheels. There's a massive great cycling coming up for Newark, but, you know, there's more than road racing in cycling. And BMX is as important. And, Jason, we'll carry it on for you.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Matt, I didn't bring you in because it's not fair to bring you in on political conversations like that. But it is important, is it, that we look after all sports. Try and encompass as many as what we possibly can, because not everybody wants to do mainstream.
No, exactly, and it's a big one as well in terms of utilisation of space. So I've had this with my local cricket club outside of the area, where we, you know, the cricket club they're after this just perfect area, but it's got to be used for other sports as well on top of there. So it's very difficult, and it is getting better across the country for underrepresented sports. So they're putting more into facilities than they ever have, Sport England. But unfortunately, you can't put everything everywhere, and something does have to give. Now, I don't know the specifics in this example to sort of analyse it too much, but
just get your shovel out and nip over to the other side of the car park.
it is very difficult, and like, you know, we made a very, very valid point. We put all this effort into this cycling coming, you know, and it's not just about road cycling, as I said about mountain biking across over at Sherwood Pines. But, you know, it's a big distance away from there. And there is I believe, sort of north of Watford needs looking at in total. There's a lot of facilities that have been pumped around the south of the country. But, you know, in this area of the country, we do lack a serious amount of facilities, not just in underrepresented sports, also in mainstream sports as well, that are participating in significantly. So it's something that has to be looked at, but I don't think it's going to be an easy fix.
Excellent. Tony, your thoughts? Very quickly, you've got about 45 seconds. Go.
I just think that anybody who can make any sporting occasion available to anybody should be encouraged, because it's just sport is brings people together, and it's been a major part of my life for 30-40 years,
and that's what it is. We've run out of time, Matt. I knew this would happen, but we'll see you again on September the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, but at the end of it, a very big date at the Newark Academy Sports Centre, because we're renaming that the Sam White Sports Centre, and Active for Today are taking control of the bookings, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so what a fantastic,
because you're the professionals. That's what you do.
Yeah, so kind of the leisure side of things, yeah, are managing the bookings and the everything like that. But yeah, that's day to day stuff. Yeah. It's going to be called the Sam White Sports Centre. Wow.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely fantastic.
That is great. Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you see things that are named after certain individuals or whatever, and there is nothing that is more significant for the town of Newark and for Sam's parents as well. You know, how amazing is that?
We're going to see you cycling at the beginning of September. We're going to see you then. Until then, bye-bye.